Psalms are a lot of fun. Amen. They deliver you. It's important to read the Psalms because they'll deliver you. David had every problem under the sun. Almost as many as Jesus. If you remember, Jesus was tempted in every way like you, yet without sin. David had plenty of sins, but he was tempted in a lot of ways, and he had a lot of sins. And so I can compare myself to David more than I can Jesus. Not just because I have his name. I don't know how my parents knew that I was going to be a sinner. I just don't know how that happened. So they named me properly, appropriately. And I go to Psalm 119 a lot. It's exciting to read it because it really reads more like the Proverbs. It really is telling you how to live. Anybody ever read it? A lot of people skip it. I've noticed that. It's too long, you know, or it's like a little poem. And you notice that? Yeah, it's kind of like they like prose. They like reading the Bible as if, you know, they were going to get something out of reading it. You know, you can't get anything out of reading the Bible. You have to have the Holy Spirit. Amen? That's why it was written. It was written so that you would have access, because you had access to the Holy Spirit. The New Testament, without the Holy Spirit, really you can't learn anything from it. Amen? You can learn behavior, but that's not learning anything. You know, you learn that from Mama. You learn that from Moses. You learn behavior. People, what they do is they take the take Moses and lay him on top of the New Testament and say, well, okay, here's how we're supposed to do it. Here's how walk with Jesus, because he's the only one to walk with. Amen? That's how you walk with Jesus. You don't walk with Jesus. It's not a time thing. He says, pray without ceasing. Why do you do that? Well, I pray when I walk up the aisle, and I pray when I walk back down the aisle. I pray when I'm going in and when I'm coming out. You know, remember in Exodus and in Deuteronomy, he says, you know, you pray going in, you pray going out, you pray out in the field, you pray in the city, you pray everywhere, you walk everywhere with the Lord. And you're thanking him because he's bringing to pass blessings in your life, and he's bringing to pass wisdom in your life. Amen? Now let's look at Psalm 119. I'm just going to bring a couple of things out to you, and I probably have done it before, but I want to enumerate it again. Is that if you'll notice, if you open, most Bibles are going to have a title at the top of several sections under Psalm 119. Does anybody have that? I'll tell you what, just like preaching to the television camera. I said, does anybody have that? Or you don't have Bibles like I do? Or you don't have a Bible at all? Bring your Bible to church. Yours does not have sections. Throw that Bible away. And get a real Bible. Amen. Does your Bible have the Apocrypha? It's King James. Okay, just asking. I'm just giving you a hard time, Larry. All right. Who's ever got it, read that first one, that first title. Aleph. That's A. That's A. Read the next one. You can probably see it on the same page. Beth. Like that girl in school. Beth. Bet. Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, and so on. These are the letters of the what? Anybody know? Hebrew alphabet. How many of them are there? Anybody know? 22. Not 26. There's 22. There's 22 letters. And if you'll happen to go through this book here, you will find that you have 22 sections in the 22 sections in the book of, in the 119th chapter of the Psalms. So each section has 8 verses. It's a great teaching tool. It's the way it's broken and the way it's set up is perfect for teaching. Now it's got 8 letters in each one. Now, interesting thing about this, and I didn't realize this till recently, is in Hebrew, each verse of each of the 8 verses in a section, begins with that, in Hebrew, begins with that letter. Begins with that letter, Aleph. All the verses in Aleph begin with the letter Aleph. All the verses in Bet begin with Bet. Now, if you go look at your Hebrew, you got to remember, you got to read from the right. So the first letter begins on the right, and each of those verses. So it's powerful, the way that God led David to write this psalm. And each one of the verses has reference in some form, I think except maybe one, to the Word of God, to God's Word and His application of His Word in my existence. So if you want to find out what God wants to say about His Word, you go find out what David said in the 119th chapter of the Psalms. You'll go look at that. And you will see it's an application of God's Word to every part of you. The words that he uses, at least in the English translation, refer to the God. Now I'm going to say it with respect to, again, the English translation, because I'm not going to read you the Hebrew word for it, for these particular references. Is in every verse he refers to either God's law, and you can read this as we go through in a few minutes. God, His ways, His testimonies, His commandments, His precepts, His word, His judgments, His righteousness, His statutes, and His truth. And sometimes it uses the word faithfulness. But all of these, in every verse except for 122, is like an extension of the one before it. Is 122 is the only one that does not do that. When I was teaching, as David Cooper does, as I was teaching the young people for their confirmation class, Esther and Zoe remember, is that, and Patrick does. And so we would get together and we would come in here, and part of my lesson plan would be we would go through the book of Psalm, or the chapter, Psalm 119. And we'd go through Psalm 119, we'd go through eight verses, we'd go through Aleph, and then we would read that as a group. We'd go through it and read it. And it was just a teaching tool to teach them how to meditate on the Word of God. And you can use it too. Because you're not trying to read a story. You're reading a section that, the way God laid it out, that's it's bite-sized. You can read it, and it refers to God's Word. I would recommend that you do it. It's not a kid thing, it's just I happen to use it with the young people, but most of us, it's helpful to do something in a bite-sized way. You know, many of you have devotionals that you go through. I'd recommend that you do this. You can do this 22 days or, you know, maybe on the 5 days a week, whatever you want to do it. And so you take those eight verses, you read them, and what I would do is ask them, okay, read that, and then I would instruct them to think about that verse and read it over again during the week, as I'm sure none of them ever did. So then we would come on. Did y'all ever do that? Esther, you're nodding your head. Did you really do that? You think so? Yeah. Zoe, did you? Did you? Zoe did, yeah. Patrick? Yeah. He answers like I do. Do you do that every day? Well, sometimes. Sometimes. Yeah. Anyway, so you take that and you meditate upon it, and then I would ask them to come back the next week and give me a verse that had meaning to you. Give me a verse that stood out to you. Give me a verse that, you know, I would use the terminology. I'd say that God showed you. I would, you know, to instruct you. That's what's happening when you do that, and then God will give you a verse to remember, or that will stand out to you, or that will apply to you. And then I would ask them, tell them, give me the verse, and then I would make them talk. I would actually, to the group, I would make them speak to that and say, okay, now why does that mean something to you? What does that mean? And many times it was an encouraging thing, because, you know, they would actually, that verse would speak to something that they had going on in their life, which obviously you're probably not going to remember a specific one. But during the time we did that was very was very helpful, and I felt that many of the kids got blessed and learned how, if nothing else, learned how to read a scripture, meditate on it, those steps, and then to come back and make application of it because of something that was going on in their life. And so if you and I can take that and do that, especially using this portion of scripture, again, take advantage of what you have. Amen? It's reading your Bible is not an exercise in attempting to win a race or to appease or please God. Reading your Bible is like eating breakfast. Yeah, it's like eating and taking care of your sustenance, because you have to have sustenance, and that's what the Bible is. It's your bread. Amen? It's your bread. Certainly, if many of you have had a long-standing period of time that you've been in the Scripture, meditate on the Scripture. Meditate on the Scripture daily. Pull one up, pull up one up for the file. And the Lord will give you one, and just meditate on that thing today. God gives you Scripture to meditate. I will hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Amen? So you want to take that word of God and hide it in your heart. You know, let the word of Christ dwell. Philippians says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Amen? So all of these things, and you want to continue to always have the word in you. And, I'm preaching to the choir, but the choir needs preaching. And if nothing else, I do. So, amen? All right. Aleph. Blessed. Blessed. Happy. Blessed are the undefiled. This is verse 1, Psalm 119. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. So blessed are you, undefiled. You're undefiled. Is David undefiled? He's undefiled because he has repented of his sins. He's walking with God. Amen? He's walking with God. Blessed are the undefiled in the way. You know you have confessed your sins. I'm undefiled for about the next minute or two. Who walk in the way of the Lord. Then you begin to... You've cleared off your path. You go out and sweep that off so you can walk in a plain path. Amen? Because many times your path is covered over by junk. That's getting rid of sin. You probably can't even see where you're going. You're probably going to trip and fall. Amen? There was a verse at hanging over a step over at the... it was a coffee house. Anybody remember Coffee House Ministries? David and Louise do. It's where you went to meet Jesus. I met Jesus in a coffee house ministry in 1972. And it was over the cornerstone. It was over on West Berry Street, right under the railroad trestle. And I don't think Travis Avenue Baptist Church even knew it was there. It's right next to the old Calvary Evangelistic Temple. And we'd go over there on Friday nights, and Jim had already been saved and taught us about Jesus. We just didn't know what to do with it. Well, those guys kind of do. Well, you come up here and you meet a guy and you pray and you ask Jesus to come into your heart. So we did that. Then about a year later, got baptized in the Holy Spirit. They have a sign over one of the steps that they didn't want you to fall over. It says, "Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." That's a good scripture to hang over a step, because the problem is you're looking at the sign and the step is right there. I think actually the sign was probably about, you're walking this way, the sign's about right there, and obviously, you better look. I just remember it being there. There was a step, and I thought, I'm probably just looking at the sign and I'm going to fall. But anyway, but he says, let him that thinketh he standeth. If you think you're okay, don't think that. You're not okay. You, in fact, have plenty of struggles. You have feet that don't work. You have a head that doesn't work. You have hands that don't work. But the problem is, don't be disturbed by that. Don't be disturbed by the fact that you have everything in your life that doesn't work. Things that are falling apart. Things that are a problem. People get distracted by that. Yeah, I talk about those like, the enemy will just get you over here and you'll be looking at a little thing right over here. And everything else is going on and you're just looking at that because you had a problem that you couldn't get past. Little kids do that, Christians do that. Because the enemy just loves to, I call it a little, a little whirlpool in a little thing, and just like a little leaf, you just get dragged over to the side, and it's just spinning right here. You ever seen that in a little river? It's just little things get pulled over to the side, a little eddy, just a little spin, little whirlpool, and that's you. You can be there for a long time. No, stay right here. Stay in the middle. Say, how do you stay in the middle? Is that you know that God has redeemed you. Amen? Don't look at your sins. Don't look at your sins. Don't look at your problems. Blessed are the undefiled in the way. They walk in the way of the Lord. Those are the ones who are walking in the way of the Lord because they're undefiled. Are you undefiled? Say, I'm undefiled. I'm pure. Now, if you're not, God will help you with that. All right? I mean, just don't do it on your own, for goodness sake. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. They walk in the law. There's the word we're looking for. Okay? So you remember that one. You could write that down. That verse, that particular first verse. They walk in the law of the Lord. All right? Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. So they keep His testimonies. Now the word keep, interesting word, the word keep is, I believe, notar. Word keep, and it's to guard or to observe. The main definition is not obey, as if to obey a command, but it is to keep, to guard, to hold fast. Like to hold fast those things. Like Hebrews chapter 4, he says, let us take the more earnest, here's another heed verse, let us give the more earnest heed, pay attention, to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip. Let us give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. So what you're doing is you're continually meditating on the Word of God. Over in 2 Peter, chapter 1, Peter says that, and I've talked about that ad nauseum, is that Peter says, I'm going to tell you these things over and over again until I'm dead, so that when I'm dead, you'll at least have this. You'll at least have what I said. So you'll meditate upon these things. So that's what he's doing, and that's his entire psalm for 176 verses, basically, is just telling you how to meditate in God's Word. So verse 2 again, blessed are they that keep. Now how do you keep? Keep His testimonies. Well, keep them. Don't throw them away. Keep them. Keep them. Keep them close. Put them, you know, keep it right here. Keep it like your phone. You know, your phone, how close you keep your phone? You keep it very close. Because you might get a call, or you might get a text, or you might, you know, something. You know, right, Norman? Praise the Lord. Yeah, you keep it. Right, Esther? Yeah. Okay. See, you're keeping that. You keep His Word. You keep His commandments. You keep it closed. That's your cheat sheet. Amen? Your cheat sheet is if I'm feeling guilty or feeling bad, feeling sick, anything that comes up, my cheat sheet is God's Word. My cheat sheet is what does God say about this particular problem? Is that I'm okay. He says, everything is going my way. Amen? I'm just looking at that. You know, if you look over at Job chapter 23, he's in the middle of his problems. And verse 10 says, for He knows the way that I take, and when I am tried, I shall come forth as gold. I love that. For He knows the way that... The whole chapter is talking about the fact that, well, God's kind of hiding over here, He's hiding over there, or He's doing all kinds of things, and I don't know what in the heck He's doing, but I know this one thing, is that... And this is His testimony. This is His testimony in the middle of the chapter. Chapter 23, verse 10. He says, for He knows the way that I take, and when I am tried, which is good for me, I shall come forth as gold. Now, I can refer to that unless I decide I want to go unless I decide I want to go all the way through the psalm over the next few months. But there's one in there. If you go look at verse 67, 71, and 75 in Psalm 119, he talks about troubles. He talks about the fact that when you're tried, it was good for me. It was good for me to be afflicted because then I saw the glory of God. I'm not being verbatim. But especially those particular verbs, but read that whole passage that includes 67, 71, and 75. All right? Homework. In Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Don't get off onto Job. But anyway, okay, look here. So blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. Once you begin to keep his testimonies, you will continue to be seeking him. You will seek him with your whole heart will get into it. Amen. So you want to keep his testimonies. Hold them dear. Hold them fast. Meditate on them day and night. That's Psalm 1, of course. All right. They also do no iniquity. The ones who have kept his testimonies, they do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. You begin to not sin as much. You begin to not sin as much. Or you begin to be delivered from the sins that used to just keep you bound. You know, the enemy will always come up with another one for you. And God will always deliver you from that one too. Amen? There are some that you will hinder. It says, the scripture says this, listen. Got a telling for me to say something like this. It says, flee youthful lusts in the New Testament. The apostle says, flee youthful lusts. It's not exactly a command to don't do that sin, but it is a recommendation because you haven't sinned yet in maybe that particular thing, but it's one that's going to pop up today or this week. He says, flee youthful lusts. It's a good idea. Here it comes. It's popping up. It's making itself available. You hadn't bought it yet. Don't buy it. Why? He said, flee youthful lusts. You know, God's smart. He said, don't buy that. Because there are things that will come up that you'll buy. There are things that will come up that just because you're used to it. You know, well, yeah, I always buy M&Ms. Or I always, do whatever sin you're going to fix to do. And you find yourself slipping into it. Because you didn't hear that recommendation. Flee youthful lusts. Amen? That'll deliver you, even if you're old. Even if you're old, you flee youthful lusts. It's a good idea maybe because you're too old for that. Maybe you're too old for that youthful thing. You're probably not, but because the enemy makes it available for all ages. Amen? He makes things available for all. He's got different levels for his different devils. And he's got old devils and young devils, and he'll send an old one to you if you're old and, who is kind of on your speed, and he'll bring a youthful lust. Anybody hearing this? I thank God I heard it. I tell you, you'll be free from 10 things that the enemy has bound you with for years. You'll be free from 10 things. Just overnight. Amen? Just don't get over in that little eddy. Don't get over in that little whirlpool. See? There you go. And no, just stay in the river. Just stay in the flow. Just stay in the flow. Flee that one. Flee that youthful lust right there. Amen. Get a lot of work. Walking, preaching to this church. You have to go back and meet the folks. Then you come back down here to the Bible. And you have to have a microphone so y'all can hear back there. All right. They do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. By the way, you're going to have to look up the scripture where he says, flee youthful lust. You're going to have to look that up because I didn't do it. I meditated on it, but I didn't meditate on the reference. 2 Timothy 2:21. 2:22. Don't mix that up. 2 Timothy 2:22. Well, that's good. That's easy to remember. 2 Timothy 2:22. See, I love memory devices. So they also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. You're walking in His ways. Are you walking in His ways? Say yes. Don't think about it. Don't think about it. Patrick, are you walking in His ways? There, but see, good man. Awesome. I love that. Verse 4 says, "You have commanded us to keep your precepts." Again, keep. "You have commanded us to keep your precepts." Keep those precepts. Those precepts are the wisdom of God. You keep them, and you don't let them go. You don't let them slip. Amen? That's how I do it. I don't know about how you do it. I just meditate upon the Word of God. In fact, I say it like that. That sounds like Texas preaching. Word of God. You know, I meditate on the Word of God. That's what makes me happy. Somebody say, "How come you're so happy when all this stuff is going wrong?" I mean, my dad, we took him down to Baylor and put two pints of blood in him Thursday. And my mother went over here to Harris because they thought she had a stroke. And she's had epileptic seizures for years. I mean, she lives pretty deep. She lives fine, you know, but Suzanne knows her, and Peg and Jim. But, I mean, she had that, so she's down there. And then I have my granddaughter over in, two granddaughters who've been diagnosed with something called SMA, which means you've got muscular dystrophy, means you can't walk and you never will and all that kind of thing. And then she's got some kind of thing where when you get a virus or whatever, it's just awful because you can't cough up anything. So, all of that's this week. Praise the Lord. You know what? God's good. People say, "How are you happy?" I meditate on the Word of God. I meditate on God's Word. You know? Praise the Lord. I don't say that to make you feel sorry for me. I say that to say you can rejoice. I know everybody else has got something. Amen? I know everybody else has got something too. And so what I'm teaching you what to do is to rejoice and to keep His precepts. Keep His precepts. Hang on to those precepts. Don't let them go. The reason He commands you to keep His precepts is like fleeing youthful lust. You know what? It's a really good idea. It has nothing to do with being saved, with God being pleased with you or how you're going to get saved. It has to do with the quality of life that you can live in the Spirit. Amen? It's the quality of life that you live that God gave you here. You're not built to suffer. You're built to rejoice. Huh? Response. That's like, amen. I mean, you know the response. Come on. It's not like, "I'm not sure." Now, you know I'm telling the truth. You know I'm right. And you know that's the truth. And so, amens are appreciated. Amen. They're appreciated. Because that way I know you've got it. I know you agree. I know you're not just thinking about it and wishing it was so. Amen? You've got too many people who wishing things were so. They walk out of church and they just wish it was so. I wish it was like that. But you don't know, brother. You know, all the marriages that, you know, Pastor was talking about a few days ago that, you know, tons of marriages that have been saved, but then you got the other ones who, they just said, "Well, brother, I just can't do that," and just walk away. It's like who's the one who walked away from Jesus? He went away sorrowful because he had many possessions. He just didn't see a way out. You know, just give up everything you have. You know, there's just no way out. He went away sorrowful because he had many possessions. He just didn't need to. They just need to make sure the possessions didn't have him. Amen. The people just walk away and say, "Brother, you just don't understand my situation." I don't need to understand your situation. Amen. I don't need to understand your situation. Pastor doesn't need to understand your situation. I understand God's situation. I understand the fact that God has given everything for you, and how shall He not with Him also give you freely give you all things? Amen? How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Praise the Lord. I just love this stuff because I can never be sad. Not like, again, don't get, I can never be sad because God will be mad at me. I mean, that's how people end that statement. I can't be sad, otherwise God will be mad at me. Stop! Stop the madness. He said, no. He said, no. God just, He just loves you so much. He wants you to take His word and receive it and enjoy it and know that that He's, everything's going your way. Job knew everything was going his way. He knew he could not lose. When I am tried, I know I shall come. I know. Say it. I know. I shall come forth as gold. Isn't that good? That's Job. You could go read Job. Problem is, you got to get right in the middle of the book. You got to get there. Oh. You mean I've got to read all the way to chapter 23? That is depressing. Then you got to read all the way to 42 to get the... I mean, you know the punchline for Job is in chapter 42. It's the end. Now I know. Now I've seen you. But in 23, he had believed. So it's like Psalm 27. I would have fainted. Psalm 27, and last verse 13, is I would have fainted if I had not believed to see the goodness of God before I die. In the land of the living. I would have fainted if I had not believed to see it. See, many people fainting because they can't or won't meditate on God's word instead of the circumstances and situations. Well, that sounds like faith preaching. Well, it is. It's just because you got faith. You know, you're just trusting what God said over what people said and circumstances dictate. Amen. Because circumstances will dictate a lot of depression. You know, my kids... I talk about my kids. Esther, obviously, is the happy child. It's great to have teenage kids to talk about. But Jordan and his wife, Robin, with their two granddaughters, are a testimony, incredible testimony, because they believe this. They believe that though there are challenging days and something comes up and it's like, wow. You know, the moment hits and it's like, It's like when you get hit in the accident and the other car hits you and you go, ooh. I mean, you feel it. You just feel it when the thing happens. But immediately you get out, you pull out your insurance card, you got coverage. You pull out your insurance card. You know, I've covered. That's the thing. Is no matter what happens, you're covered. And they know they're covered. The medication that their little girls are taking is phenomenally expensive, but it's covered. And the miracle is it's covered. So they have whatever they need. They have it covered. So it's incredibly powerful. But when they go to church, you know, they bring in both the little girls. I mean, you know, people are just like, "How are you so happy? You know, how are you doing that? You know, I got a good God." And He lives in me. And He talks to me all the time. And He tells me how much He loves me. And I'm just having such a wonderful day. Amen? Hallelujah. So you have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Why? Because He likes you. I tell my kids, don't cross against the light. Is that mean of God? Is that mean of me? To tell kids not to cross. Don't touch that hot stove. Is that mean? It seems mean at the time. Don't touch that hot stove. It seems very mean. But why am I doing it? Flee youthful lust. Why am I doing it? Because I don't like fun? No. I'm doing it. I'm telling you that, God says, because it'll help you. Flee youthful lust. It'll help you. Don't touch that hot stove. I mean, you read the Proverbs, you find out that a lot of the fleeing youthful lust is like touching a hot stove. Don't go to her house. That is, don't go down that road. It's just not a good idea. Go the other way. Go to church. go visit the saints. Don't go down the street where you're going. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Because that's where life is. That's where life is. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed. When I have respect, honor to all of your commandments. Okay? We've gotten the law. We've gotten his testimonies. We've gotten his ways. We've gotten his precepts. We have his statutes. We have his commandments. That's just in the first six verses. So verse 6 says, then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect, when I give place to your commandments, when I give glory and honor and position to your commandments. I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned your righteous judgments. So when you're meditating on the word, you begin to praise it. You begin to praise Him. When you're meditating on His Word, you begin to praise Him with uprightness of heart. It in fact transforms me. Amen? I didn't used to do this. I didn't used to. It was kind of a struggle from this thing and that thing. But daily you just wake up and you just declare these things. And you just rejoice and you just, Father, thank you that you're good. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you that healing belongs to you. Amen? Hallelujah. I believe that. Healing belongs to you. It's part of that covenant. Amen? Why don't all people get healed all the time? Why aren't these girls healed right now? I don't know yet. I'm like Job in 23. I don't know what's going on. I don't know where God's at, what He's up to. But I know this is when I come through, I'm going to be coming forth as gold. And the one thing about gold is people see it. People see the shine. Amen? You know, I shall come forth as gold. Well, look at that. Whoa. Oh, gosh. That sure is shiny. Wonder who that is. Wonder what that is. I will praise you, verse 7, with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned your righteous judgment. That's a result of learning of His righteous judgment. I will keep. There's the keep word again. I love that word. I'm going to keep those things and throw away the other one. I'm going to keep these words and throw away the words that say you should be depressed and you should be anxious and you should be fearful and you should not rejoice too much because God's not that good. After all, you do live in a fallen world, brother. Yeah, not me. I live in heaven. Amen. I live in heaven. I'm enjoying it. Amen. Praise the Lord. I got a good boy. I mean, he's living in heaven too. He learned everything I learned. Amen? Praise the Lord. I will keep your statutes and I will keep your statutes. Forsake me not utterly. Forsake me not. Lord, and it's rhetorical. It's rhetorical. You know, is it forsake me not utterly? I will keep your statutes and you'll never forsake me. Amen? Oh, let's see here. I'll just wet your whistle. Bet. Yeah, because y'all know this one. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed. There's that heed word again. Hey, taking heed thereto, according to your word. How do you cleanse your way? Taking heed. Heed to His word. Amen, young man. There you go. Yeah. I'm not pointing at your dad. I'm pointing at you. Paul's at least got some black hair left. You could be a young man. Hobo's got lots of black hair. Where's he? He left. This is too much for him. With verse 10, and we'll quit. We'll quit on verse 11. With my whole heart have I sought you. Some people are going to say, well, that's a lie. No, your heart. David says, with my whole heart, I have sought you. I don't have any doubt that, I mean, he's in his closet. You know, he's not like pronouncing it. Probably he didn't even intend for me to be reading this. You know, somebody just got it after he was dead. And he said, with my whole heart, I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Flee youthful lust. Again, these things are not commands to be said so that you'll gauge how saved you are. These are God's commands to you that you should keep and hold fast and walk in so that you stay out of these little eddies and out of these little pockets and these little whirlpools, and you stay right in the middle of the flow, and you're not turned to the side by wicked devices, by things that the enemy wants you to believe in. And wicked devices can just be unbelief. Unbelief, God cannot deal. He can't work with unbelief. It's like, what do you do with that? You know, how do you work with unbelief? So unbelief is sin. That's the only sin. That's the only sin is now, is what? Unbelief, right? Not believing on the only begotten Son of God, who died for your sins and was raised again, and then you believe on Him, and then you have everlasting life. So unbelief, to do unbelief on toward any of His commands and directions are a problem for you, because you end up again in these corners and you don't get out of them. Amen? You can sit there for years. I mean, we've seen people who just get into these things for years, and they just sit there. And they just can't get out of it because they're looking at themselves, right? They're just looking at themselves and their problems and their difficulties and the fact that they didn't do something. When if you're looking at yourself and the fact that you didn't do something, then that's where you need to say, God, I cannot do this, and I thank you that you're going to do it. And you begin to say that. You teach somebody to say that every day. Teach somebody to say that, to pray that prayer and say that every day. Is to let God get me out of this hole. Amen? Because you can't get yourself out of that hole. You're just not good at it. You dug it too deep. You're down there in the hole. Can't even climb out. You're good at digging holes. I mean, there's slick sides, you know, nothing to grab onto. Jesus, can you get me out of this hole? Boom. It might be boom. It might take a day or two. That's okay. He's working in you. Amen? He's working in you. I always think it's funny. Job, you know, devil comes up and talks to Job, or talks to God, and God says, hey, have you considered my servant Job? Perfect man. You know, if Job had been standing right there, how many of you want God talking to the devil about telling how good you are? How you're his favorite, and you're his best customer. You're his best servant. I'm like, no, don't say it. Don't talk. Don't say that. Have you considered my servant a perfect man? Walks upright. Just everything is going his way. Yeah, but that's, the devil says, yeah, but that's because you put a hedge around him. You know. Oh, if you take that hedge away, he'll curse you to your face. Okay, go ahead. No problem. God says, Job is now going, whoa! You know, don't do that. God, what are you doing? Oh, no! And then, of course, it begins, you know. But the thing is, was God trying to prove something to the devil? No, God's going to show something to Job. God's going to show Job how big he is and how much that he loves it. Amen? Because Job just served God out of fear. The devil was right. God, you know, he heard about you, and he's going to serve you because he just, you know, you're God, and, you know, that's how he come, he's serving you. Well, Job found out that God wasn't a God to be obeyed because of fear, but a God to be obeyed because of love. Amen? See, that's one thing that Job did not know. But now I know. He said, verse 42, now I have heard you with the hearing of the ear, but now I have seen you. And, of course, all of his buddies were trying to figure out what sin he committed. You know, you remember Jesus talked about the guy who was born blind. Well, what sin did he commit? You know, that he was born blind, you know. And And Jesus just basically didn't answer the question. He just said, neither his parents nor him, but that the glory of God might be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is yet day. So with my whole heart, this is verse 10, have I sought you. Oh, let me not wander. Don't let me get off into those little eddies and those little whirlpools. Let me not wander from your commandments. Your word, 11, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Yeah, hiding his word in your heart. And you know what? It actually makes a difference. It changes everything. Amen? Psalm 119, there's a bunch more verses. You could read them. You know, there's about 166 more verses you could read. So I'll encourage you to do it. Once in a while, I'll just go grab one out of the middle and, you know, just 8 verses and work on it. So are you happy? Yeah, are you fleeing all your youthful lusts? Say, yeah. Yeah, they're a bad idea. Amen. They just don't help you. They're things that just draw you into away from hearing the Lord. And they're just bad habits. They're just habits that you developed. And so when God, he says, flee youthful lust, it's that flesh habit that God will break, that he'll just deliver you from it. Amen? Amen. And everybody's got them. Everybody. Amen? All right. Father, we just magnify you and thank you for all your blessings. Thank you for the Word of God, which is able to, the engrafted Word, which is able to save our souls. So, thank you for it. Thank you for the Word. It's engrafted. It's saving our souls. It's my heart and my spirit have already been saved, but it's saving my soul because I'm living in this world. And this world is full of stuff that tries to get me so that I'm not effective as a witness of Jesus Christ. So, Father, we just give you praise and thank you that you've delivered us in every way. Thank you for this word. Thank you for this psalm. In Jesus' name, amen.